This call is being recorded.
Hello, everyone. Again, we're together with David. Dave, how do you pronounce your last name? Carriger?
It's Carriger.
Carriger. Okay, wonderful. Yeah. And Dave, we of course we're on the Cooking Without Looking TV show podcast. I'm a creator and executive producer, Renee Rentmeester. Dave, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm a visually impaired person that loves to cook. I live in Prince Edward Island, Canada. For those of your listeners that may not know where I am, that's on the east coast of Canada, surrounded by oceans and beaches and stuff like that. And I've been visually impaired since I'm about 10 or 11 years old. I have RP, which is a slowly degenerative eye condition, so I'm slowly losing my vision over time. And about 10 years ago, I really took to learning how to cook in one of my times of unemployment and after university. And, I really have gone far with it. I like to make my own recipes and sauces. And I've even started a little small business selling baked goods through my social media pages. And I've called that Blind Man Cooking. So it's really, really great to be on this show, Renee, because I kind of like to do a show like this of my own someday. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, of course. Of course. We love having you, Dave. So you've been blind since you were very little. You're visually impaired with the RP. Tell us a little bit about some of your experiences.
What kind of experiences would you like to hear about, Renee?
Well, just about anything, Dave. Were you in the regular school or did you go to a special class?
No. So the way it worked here is I would go to my regular school and then I would go to a school for the visually impaired and blind in another province, Nova Scotia, for like intense, like 1 week kind of training sessions to adapt to my level of vision loss. So I would go over there for like a week and learn like mobility or technology or something like that, and then I would come back to live and go to school in my normal school system here in BEI.
Which did you like better? Which did you feel more comfortable in?
I felt more comfortable in really both situations. It wasn't really a level of comfortability in one more than the other, you know. I got to experience a lot of great things by going to that school, like, you know, navigating a city where I lived in PEI was quite rural. So, got to learn a lot of great experiences going to that school, but also got to maintain my friendships and stuff with my friends here in PEI.
How do you get around? Do you use a cane at all?
I do, yeah.
And how do you
I only started using a cane about 10 years ago when I started traveling I traveled and raced in paratriathlons. I started traveling on my own to different provinces and cities, and I really started using my white cane then.
Well, tell us a little bit about your training. I know I was talking to you, or we were chatting the other day on Messenger about your running. Tell us about your training and what you're training for right now.
Oh, yeah. So I'm currently, I haven't done any races in quite a while. I'm currently training for a 10K race, at the beginning of November, in Halifax, Nova Scotia. It's called the Blue Nose Marathon, and I'm doing the 10K distance in that. So I'm training 2 to 3 times a week here with some friends and, people that I've met through local gyms to try to get ready for that race.
Wow.
I do everything with a guide, so I need to find people that can see so I don't injure myself while running.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I was trying to imagine that, because as I mentioned at the time, I run as well. Now, how do you do that? Are you guys connected somehow, or do they just run ahead of you, or how do they do that?
Yeah, I use a short tethering system. So just basically a rope or something that I hold and they hold as well. So we're attached by the tether, and then basically they also give you verbal cues of anything you have to navigate around, like a pothole or something like that, or if you're coming up to a, sometimes you run in the city where there's sidewalks and stuff, so they'll let you know if you're coming to a curb or something, just basically anything that you could potentially trip over is basically what I tell people to point out to me, basically.
How did you find your running mate?
Well, one of them was a friend of mine, or one of them was a trainer in the gym I go to, and then another one I found through Facebook. When I started training for this race, I put a post up and asked if anybody'd be willing to just kind of give me one run a week kind of thing as a guide, and I was able to find a couple people that were willing to do that for like one week, one run a day, one run a week. So that's kind of how I found them.
So I think you've just broken a stereotype for a lot of people listening, because I don't think people e ever visualize a person who is blind running.
I don't know. I like to do lots of other things that people don't do that are blind. I've gone surfing in Hawaii and hiking and camping in Ontario, and I like to probably what people would call push the limits of being blind. I try not to really hold myself back, especially like even in the kitchen. A lot of people would say, like, how do you cook when you're blind? So it's always an education, Renee. I'm sure you're well aware of that, being visually impaired or blind yourself, that you're always educating and breaking stereotypes.
Well, I am not blind or visually impaired. I just about 20 years ago, I just thought that there was a whole group of people who are blind or visually impaired who were sort of like, off to their own, and I wanted to bring everyone to the party, so to speak. So I've learned
Oh.
a lot though from people just like you over the 20 years, and I've learned a lot about blindness and visual impairment. So I think if that ever were to happen to me, I wouldn't be afraid, because you and a lot of other people have taught me how to live. I think sometimes you live a fuller life when you're blind.
Yeah, you can, I guess. It depends on who you ask on that one. But yeah, if you I think if you kind of just take the viewpoint of, it's something you have to deal with, and then you just try to live a, I'll put the air quotes around the word normal, but around normal lifestyle, and
Well, it's
you just
normal
have
for you.
to you just
What
have to adapt. You
normal?
have to learn to adapt to everything you do, basically.
Yeah. So tell us about your cooking. How did you start cooking?
So I started cooking, like I say, but 10 years ago, I just kind of, I don't really remember how I started, but I wanted to just become more independent, as most visually impaired people do. And I started cooking very, very basic things. Like, people see my Facebook page now and go, "Oh, wow." I have to remind people that I didn't start cooking these amazing dishes. I started with a grilled cheese sandwich. I started with cooking like fajitas and stuff, but my mom or dad would have already cooked the hamburger and like stored it in smaller packages in the freezer. And I would use that and then just, cook the rest of the ingredients, basically. And then I started taking some lessons through our local, Institute for the Blind here, because I wanted to learn how to tell when meat was done, and struggled with that for quite a while. But after that, I kind of just took it and ran with it. I love watching Food Network shows and all kinds of shows on TV and whatever other mediums there are out there. And then I started just trying to duplicate what they did. learned that, you know, they do a lot of those things a lot better than I did. So I just kind of, you know, repeated recipes until I got them down, and then I would go on to a new one after that, kind of way. So
do you find yourself sort of like changing recipes around when you, once you try them, then you do something a little bit different to them?
Sometimes, yeah. I have a few recipes here now that I'm not really allowed to change. People enjoy them too much the way they are. So, but yeah, I'm always trying to come up with new recipes and, you know, new spice blends and stuff like that. Just, I just enjoy, you know, playing in the kitchen, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Is it a place where you find your zen, for your peace?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I definitely enjoy being in there with on the radio or podcast on, and just trying to come up with something new.
Do you like cooking better than going out to eat?
I wouldn't say I like either of those better. Sometimes I just enjoy going out to eat because, you know, you do get to try different things that you don't necessarily maybe have in your repertoire. Or, you know, I learned, you know, I went out to dinner a couple weeks ago with my mom, and we tried this delicious soup that we had to duplicate. So I think, you know, I like them both equally.
Wow. Well, I saw that picture of your fried chicken from Friday, and it's going to be tomorrow's Cooking Without Looking TV show recipe of the day. Tell us about that recipe.
Oh, yeah. So that was a recipe that I whipped up there on Friday after I came home from a run, kind of especially for this podcast episode. I have an air fryer. I have a Cristori air fryer, which I cook these wings in. And I made my own batter for it, once again, kind of on the fly. I've adopted a low carb lifestyle. So I started out with using almond flour instead of regular flour. Mm-hmm. And I intended on using like some crush up seeds or something like that, but I was out of those. So I ended up using regular like panko breadcrumbs.
Sure.
And I seasoned the chicken wings, or the flour, with some salt and pepper and onion powder and garlic powder. I think it was basically a half teaspoon of each. And I started out with 2 cups of almond flour in a small bowl. And then in another bowl, I had about 1.5 cups of milk. And then in the third bowl, I had about 1.5 cups of the breadcrumbs. And basically, it just created an assembly line where I did the wings into the flour, and then the egg, or the milk, sorry. Sometimes I use eggs, but I was low that day, so I used milk instead.
Yeah.
And then I put them into the breadcrumbs and made sure until I got them a good coating. And then I put them on a cookie sheet or a sheet pan with some foil so they didn't stick until they were all breaded. I think I had about 2 pounds of chicken wings.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a package, big package that was on sale. And yeah, then I cooked them in the air fryer, as I mentioned. I didn't add any oil or anything to the air fryer. That's one of the great things about cooking them in the air fryer. You don't have to deal with, you know, splashing oil or anything like that.
Sure.
I did them in, it took 2 batches to do all the wings. And a little tip that I picked up from watching somebody, I forget where, somewhere's online, but I put all the flats together, and I put all the drums, like the little drumettes together in this, when I separated the 2 batches, just I think they would cook better if you kept them all the same. So I did that. While I did the second batch, I put the first batch in the oven, just to keep them hot. But one thing I kind of realized is that they stuck on the pan, and they were only in there for about 4 or 5 minutes. Sorry, probably more like 10 minutes, actually, at like 300 degrees. So I would either recommend you lower your temperature in your oven, or say put some like cooking spray on the cookie sheet, or even just some parchment paper or something like that, so they don't stick to your pan. And I cooked them in my air fryer at 380 for about 18 minutes, and they came out super, super crispy and delicious.
Wow, that's great. How did you get into the air fryer thing?
I had one a long time ago. I had one of the original ones. It was an ActiFry version but I found it really hard to use because the dot, like the way you set the temperature wasn't easy. And so when I just saw one of these, I guess it was on a commercial or something like that, I said, you know I have one of those already, but like, I'd like to get a new one. And this one is Wi-Fi enabled, so it does have a touch screen on the front, but you can run it off your smartphone or your Alexa or your Google Home, whatever you have.
Oh, cool.
So it's very accessible. I find once you set it up, I guess I should say, you do need to touch the buttons on the actual machine to kind of set up your Wi-Fi and stuff like that. So I had somebody sighted help me set it up, but once we had all that set up, then I didn't really need any assistance to run it. I can run it all on my own through my phone.
Wow, that's great.
So yeah, I find it does wings like just as good as if you did them in oil myself.
Do you find that they go faster? Are you able to cook them faster?
No, I don't know. I've never done them in oil, to be honest. I was kind of scared of using a big vat of frying oil to do stuff. So I always did them in the oven. So it's definitely faster than doing them in the oven, because I think it would take, you know, close to 40 minutes to do them in the oven. So you don't have to flip these either. You just kind of put them in an even layer in the basket of the air fryer and throw them in. And when the timer goes off, they're good to go. I just poured them into a bowl or onto a cookie sheet and then relined the rest of them. So I did. It just took two batches to do these. So,
do you make any special sauces for them, Dave?
I just served them with like a bottled barbecue sauce. Or I just had them with like a bottled barbecue sauce at that time. I haven't gotten into making too many sauces yet, but that might be the next step for the next time I make them.
Well, sounds kind of things to there.
Oh, you broke up there. Sorry. What did you say, Renee?
No problem. What other things do you like to prepare?
Oh, what other things do I like to prepare? Well, that's a pretty long list. I love the barbecue outside, so basically anything you cook on a barbecue, so meats or vegetables. I cook on a gas barbecue mainly, but I have been playing around with a charcoal barbecue this summer, just a few times, like a handful of times. I love making hamburgers. They're one of my best sellers in the household. I make my own patties and my own spice blends and stuff for those. And then I like to bake as well, so I make cookies, and I'm trying to learn how to make my own pie crust from scratch and stuff like that lately as well. So
oh wow, how are you doing with the pie crust? That's a really a toughie.
I haven't attempted it quite yet, but it's on the list. Made some nice zucchini muffins a couple weeks ago, so definitely getting into the fall baking swing of things here.
Oh, it sounds like it, especially in Canada. You know, the fall, it must be beautiful up there.
Yeah, the leaves are just starting to change colors this week, I'm told. I can't really see that anymore, but my partner told me that they were starting to change yesterday, and yeah, we still have pretty warm temperatures. They're kind of up and down throughout the fall though, so yeah, but yeah, we have definitely have nice weather here and a beautiful fall.
What do you find the most challenging part about being blind, visually impaired?
What I find the most challenging, I guess, is just like having to adapt to not being on your own schedule. You know, especially if you don't live in a city where you have a good public transit system or something like that. I'm very fortunate to have lots of people to call on for drives and stuff like that here. But it's still one of those things where, you know, it is one of those things. Transportation is one of the things that I find difficult about being visually impaired for sure.
You know, that's an international problem with being visually impaired. Trans
Yeah,
always.
I think it is. Yeah. Even if you live in a city with a good transit system, it still seems to be a bit of an issue because, you know, you could have a transit system, but it could take like an hour and a half to get where you would need to or want to go. So,
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, what do you find
yeah.
the most the best part about being blind or visually impaired?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think being like I've never been really been sighted since I was 10 years old, so I can't say that if I was sighted or not sighted that I would have been you know, as you know, adaptable and resilient, you know, as I feel like I am now. But I think having to deal with, you know, having to jump through hoops and, you know, smash through barriers to get through everyday life has definitely made me very, very resilient and you know, able to kind of tackle anything that I really want to or need to do.
Well, that's great. It sounds like that's the type of person you are. You don't let anything get in your way.
No, I definitely try not to, for sure. You know, it's kind of how I was brought up. It was, you know, I had very good parents who taught me that, you know, it's you know, especially after I was diagnosed with my vision, that, you know, just is a thing that you have to deal with. And you know, it's you know, it's not a fun thing to deal with, but it's something you have to deal with, and you know, try to make the best out of what you have outside of being visually impaired or blind. So
I guess we all have something we deal with, right? Each of
yeah, that's true, you know, whether it's vision loss or, you know, hearing loss or, you know, whatever else, it's, you know, everybody has something. So
Most definitely. Well, Dave, if someone wants to get a hold of you for that amazing air fry recipe, which, as I said, will be tomorrow's Cooking Without Looking recipe of the day, and that'll be at our website www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. If anyone wants to get a hold of you, how do they go about getting a hold of you, Dave?
They can get a hold of me through my Facebook page, at Blind Man Cooking. Or they can reach out to me at blindmancooking2018@gmail.com.
Okay, great, great. Well, thank you, Dave, for being a part of us, and thank you for helping us change the way we see blindness.
Well, like I said, thank you so much for having me on your cooking podcast. It was definitely an honor to speak with you today.
Oh, thank you so much, Dave. It was an honor to speak with you as well. And for any of you listening, if you want to get a hold of us, again, we're at our website, www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. You can also reach out to us on our Facebook page. And again, I'm Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator, executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and podcast. Have a wonderful day.